Blessings in the name of the Lord to you all. It's good to be with you. Amen?
Amen?
Amen. Well, God's got some great and exciting things for us today. Last week, after Pat and I had shared, Rita had gotten a vision. I don't know if it was during or after or whatever. It was during the whole thing. During the whole service, she had gotten this great vision, and she's going to share that with us. And then Brenda's going to follow up with some things that God had given her through revelation concerning the vision and how it all ties in. And it's really amazing how God moves through different individuals in the same theme, and his spirit is so consistent. So let's just open with prayer, bring our hearts before him. Father, we are so grateful for you today, Lord, and every day. We just want to tell you that we love you, that you are magnificent, that you are above all things, and you are in all things, and you are in us, Father. And we want to be one with you. We want to be one with each other, Father. We just are so excited about how your spirit's been moving through multiple people and how consistent you are, Father, how supernatural you are. So we thank you, Lord, for the vision that you've given Rita. We ask that you would make that real to us, that you would bring us revelation in our own selves as individuals, how it applies to us and corporately, Father, that you would bring understanding to us as she delivers it. And same with Brenda and Mike as he teaches today, Father. We ask that you would just open our hearts and minds to receive, to understand, that you would speak clearly to us individually, Father, and corporately, that we would do our part to participate in what you reveal to us. Because if you reveal something to us, Father, it's our responsibility to respond. Revelation requires response. So, Father, we want to respond correctly. We want to hear what you have to say, and we want to respond how you want us to respond. So we thank you, Lord, for that. We just open ourselves up to you. It's nevertheless our will, Lord, but your will be done. So we just want that to happen in our lives. We want to have that to happen in our thought processes. So begin, Lord, even now, to change how we think, how we see, how we understand, so that it's in alignment with you. We just love you, Father. We praise you and we thank you. Amen. Amen. Rita?
At the beginning of service, Josh came up and read and prayed, and someone came forward to say there was a banquet table set in front of the stage, to which Jesus immediately showed me a long, narrow table stretched across the sanctuary here. And on the table was a white tablecloth. And then I saw Jesus come up to it and lay out several fruit items, just what he brought to the table. He just laid out on the table right in front. And then he stood right behind the table facing the body. Afterwards, a few people came forward to encourage the body to share and contribute to what God was doing or saying to them. And Jesus, I saw him raise his hand and say, "Come on up." And he encouraged these people to come forward. And I saw people coming forward and sit. As they came forward to share, they were beginning to sit behind the table with Jesus, lined up. And they were just sitting there. And then I saw people coming forward. They didn't sit behind the table. They sat across from the people that were sharing. Because whatever these people were sharing, it was touching those people. And they came and they sat and they could really converse to each other. It was just they touching, so it was speaking to them back and forth all through that time. And it took a long time to go through all of that. And then I saw more people come. And then I saw on the table were the fruit from the people that were sharing, coming out from them and laying on the table. All across the table was a lot of fruit, but never high. It never grew very high, so you couldn't see them. So then all of a sudden, I saw, even when Joe and Pat Strusky were sharing, I saw the fruit being added and added and added and added, and I'm going, well, that's a lot of fruit. But then I saw it going off the table, down the tablecloth, off the table, but it never touched the ground. Then the Lord told me, if the fruit hit the ground, it would spoil and become rotten. and his fruit didn't go bad, and the fruit that he gives to us, through us, will never hit the ground. It will go out to all the people in the body, receiving what was being said and what was being shared. It was touching people. The fruit was touching people, but not the ground. And then that same thing occurred when Bob got up to share about shadows. Same thing. I saw fruit going out because it was touching people. They could relate to that. So that fruit was touching other people, like it really meant something to them. And after that was shared, I saw a little girl sitting on the steps over there as Mike was getting prepared to sing some songs, play some songs and sing some songs. And she was sitting there very intently, and she was leaning over and looking at him like, okay, what's he doing? What's he doing? And listening to everything and paying attention to everything he was doing. And I mean, this is after everything that's going on in the body. So I was impressed with that. And she kept doing that with Mike started to play. She still sat there. And the Lord told me that even the little one is attentive to hearing what the Lord has planned for the day. So even though, the message has been given and everything else, she was still attentive to hear. So that was what he showed me in the sanctuary. But when I went to bed that night, he woke me up early in the morning the next day. And he had me review several times what he had done previously in the sanctuary. And he kept reviewing and reviewing. I'm going, oh, okay. He told me that he wants me to review the visions he gives me first. So first, I don't forget. And second, he doesn't want the enemy to step in to twist things around. And it will deviate from what his truth is. So he continued to tell me that the body should be doing the same thing after each message or teaching, each vision, each prophecy, each encouraging word, etc. Whatever he has to tell you, he wants you to review it and just keep it in your mind. Don't let the enemy twist it around. And that's what he's saying. He wants us to review and rehearse what he's saying or showing us each week. Continually. Don't stop. Don't let the enemy in.
I completely understand when she says that you have to write it down, because there are times when I don't write it down and I really do forget. And I don't want to embellish or add to or do anything like that. So prior to me knowing this vision, because Rita had shared it with Pat and Joe last week, right after church, and I didn't get it all. I didn't listen to her tell her vision. But on the 14th, whatever day that was, it might have been Tuesday or Thursday. Anyways, I got up early in the morning and I went out to my garden. Quinn's going to show you some pictures as I go along and tell you this, because I think the pictures will help. Because when I went to each part of my garden, these are the things that the Lord showed me and he told me, and I wrote them down exactly. So I have them in quotes. As I was harvesting that morning, this is a word of encouragement, by the way, so just take it as, as encouragement, because that's what the Lord wants to do. As I entered my garden, this is the first picture that I saw. Nice, big, red, ripe tomato. It's the first of this heirloom on this heirloom vine. And as soon as I saw it, I'm like, wow, look at that beauty. How wonderful, how great, the fruit of my labor. Finally, there's evidence. And this is what the Lord said. He says, He delights to see the fruit. And the fruit are all of you guys. And that's what he was referring to. There's an aspect of maturity in that tomato that's ready to pick. It's there. It's ready to eat and be given to whomever is going to eat it. The next picture, as I was harvesting, I had picked some cucumbers, put the tomatoes in there, and I put it on the ground. And he said to me, there will be a day when you will be harvesting daily increased amounts. So when you're picking from a garden, you might get one or two here or there, and then all of a sudden there's this abundance that comes in, and so much so that you don't know what to do with it. You're handing it away. You're giving it away. So he said there's going to be increased amounts as you begin harvesting. Like the days of Pentecost, where they were in one accord, in one place, and the numbers were added. So this next slide, there's a pumpkin hanging on a fence because the vine went up and so it grew there on the fence. Some of the fruit will be in plain sight, just like the gifts, and each of one of you might be very apparent to other people. And then there's another spaghetti squash hanging. That one's very much in plain sight. You can see it hanging there all on its own. So there are gifts in people that are very obvious. You can see them. But then, like this next picture, some of the fruit is hidden in the grass, kind of like what you see there. You kind of have to sometimes move and turn your head to find the perspective. This next slide is a bee on a flower, and the Lord said to me, harvesting will be among the bees, and the bees represent the prayers of the saints. They're pollinating the flowers. These flowers are representative of those that are chosen before time, just like in Ephesians chapter 1, 4, and 5, before the foundation of the world, having predestined us to the adoption of children. So these bees represent our prayers for more harvest, for more people that are chosen into his kingdom. So the fruit comes after pollination, just so that you understand. The fruit is not already... the flower is there ready to receive pollination. So reproduction comes after the pollination. So there's prayers that affect reproduction. So here you see a green bean, which is green, and it's amongst green vines. And when you're looking at these bush beans, you can't see them. You have to move the leaves away, and it takes time to train your eye to actually see the green bean, because it almost looks like the stem. It looks like the rest of the bush. So fruit is hidden until the laborer moves the branch to reveal its maturity. So you have to go in there and look for it. So unlike those pumpkins that you saw in plain sight, some fruit has to be sought out amongst the vine. It blends in with everything around them, especially if it's the same color. So there's a provoking involved. You have to move the vines. You have to go in and push things aside. And sometimes use your hands to, and then like, oh my gosh, there it is right there in my hand. So there's a provoking involved. And the thing is that the gift is still there. You just have to nurture it out. And we might see that and recognize that as the Isaacs would do with the Jacobs, or the Abrahams would do with the Isaacs, or the house church leader might do with their house church members, a pastor to his congregation. There's all kinds of scenarios, parents to their children. So there's a provoking and a nurturing, and that's all of us. All of us doing that. So again, there's a communion. There's an activity amongst the body, just like when Rita shared, you know, the people coming to the banquet table and Jesus is there, and there's a participation and an attentive listening and a hearing, and there's fruit being developed. And it's important that we all do that and we participate, because that's where the fruit comes out, more of it and more of it. So this next picture, his name is Kitten, by the way. The cat at the gate is our companion Jesus waiting at the gate. He's ready to receive the harvest. He's the one that leadeth unto life. He leads us to life. And that's what he told me. I went to the gate to exit, and he says, I'm at the gate, always ready to receive the harvest. Just like he was at that banquet table. He has fruit out, and as we were coming and joining, there was more harvest to be displayed. So this next picture is one of the final pictures before I was leaving the gate. At the beginning of the season, everything was planted by seed, and I had planted flowers in this garden, and my intention was to take these flowers and put them in different parts of the yard when they were still just young and movable. Because some plants, you can move them when they're just little plants. You can take these transplants and move them. Some plants, once they get to a certain height, you don't want to mess with them because they'll just die. They won't survive the transition. So my intention was to move these flowers, but that never happened. I was distracted with other activities, whatever they may be, but I lost time, and it was too late to move them, so I let them grow in the garden. So every now and then I pick them, and I just bring them in the house, and so I always have these flowers. But what this spoke to me, what the Lord said to me about these flowers, amongst the fruit are planted flowers not intended to stay in the garden. Again, these weren't intended to stay in the garden, but to be transplanted when they were young and movable. Regardless, they are still beautiful, as God is our redeemer of our error. So my error being the distractions that caused me to neglect to move them. So it was too late, and I didn't want to kill them, so I'm just enjoying them the way they are. Now, the important thing is that it's how important it is, let me just say this, how important it is that we love, move, and have our being in His time. And He's a redeemer of our errors. So no matter what, we can be restored to Him and continue on with the plans that He has for us. It could be like, so some of the examples that I was thinking about, you know, where He rescues us from loss, like it might say in Galatians, but where He rescues us. If a church is sending out a member as a transplant, I think of the perfect example, Pastor, when you were sent out from Bob Justice's church. There was a sending out, and He planted. There was a timing involved with that. If it was too soon, He might not have been ready to do what He needed to do. If it was too late, who knows? You know, there's all kinds of scenarios. But there's a timing involved. And so we love and move and have our being in His time in all things. So the next picture, I have my hand on the basket. And the Lord said to me, the weight of our fruit basket, this is the fruits of our labor, you all have fruits, all of you, is mighty in His hand. And the scripture verse is Ephesians 6:10, where it says that be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. It's a strong, dunamis, miraculous working power. It has dominion and there's power in His force. So all those things are in His right hand, and there's power in it. Now, this final slide are string beans on the ground. They were just too big. They get kind of woody, but they make great seed pods. So I threw them down on the ground because they're just not good to eat. They were just way beyond the maturity. And so some fruit might have been cast aside because it's too late to eat. But what the Lord was telling me is that because of its unsavory flavor, I was thinking about the Pharisees who were offended by Jesus' words. They couldn't hear Him. They were, you know, everything He had to say was an offense to them. But still, they provided seed. There's a seed that, even though somebody might not be ready to hear what you have to say, there is a seed. And I'm sure some of the Pharisees turned and repented and followed after Him. Maybe not all of them, but there was a seed. There was a seed that was planted. So Jesus fulfilled the law. So therefore, He's going to prevail. You have the seed. So you have the harvest. You're the harvest, and you're producing a harvest. And your words to one another, just like Rita described this morning. So, amen.
Good morning, everyone. So, this morning, I'm going to talk about decisions. I get to make my own decision how I spell the word. So the first decision I had to make was exactly what to teach about with decisions. So the teaching is going to be, this is not a very good tree. So we're not going to call it a tree. But I'm going to be speaking about this center part here. And you guys all have your own decisions to make about what you want to help apply to think about. I just want to start by reading a little bit of scripture. Isaiah 43. God proclaims Israel's redemption. But now this is what the Lord says. He who created you, O Jacob, he who formed you, O Israel, fear not, for I have redeemed you. I have summoned you by name. You are mine. When you pass through the waters, I will be with you. And when you pass through the rivers, they will not sweep over you. When you walk through the fire, you will not be burned. The flames will not set you ablaze. For I am the Lord your God, the Holy One of Israel, your Savior. I give Egypt for your ransom, Cush and Seba in your stead. Since you are precious and honored in my sight, and because I love you, I will give men in exchange for you and people in exchange for your life. Do not be afraid, for I am with you. I will bring your children from the east and gather you from the west. I will say to the north, give them up, and to the south, do not hold them back. Bring my sons from afar and my daughters from the ends of the earth. Everyone who is called by my name, whom I created for my glory, whom I formed and made, lead out those who have eyes but are blind, who have eyes but are deaf, all the nations who have ears but are deaf, all the nations gather together and the peoples assemble. Which of them foretold this and proclaimed to us the former things? Let them bring in their witnesses to prove they were right, so that others may hear and say it is true. You are my witnesses, declares the Lord, and my servant whom I have chosen, so that you may know and believe me and understand that I am he. Before me no God was formed, nor will there be one after me. I, even I, am the Lord, and apart from me there is no Savior. I have revealed and saved and proclaimed, I and not some foreign God among you. You are my witnesses, declared the Lord, declares the Lord, that I am God. Yes, and from the ancient of days, I am he. No one can deliver out of my hand. When I act, who can reverse it? Sounds like we're called. God has called us. So this teaching was based on about 10 months of notes. And I was having a conversation with Andrea. And we were talking about the military and dedication of special forces and military and things like that. And I've been listening to his name is Jocko Willink. He's a ex-SEAL commander in Iraq, Ramadi. He was in charge of the operations over there. And he's very intense to listen to, but he's also very, very down-to-earth guy. So I've been correlating over the past nearly half a year, just that dichotomy of military dedication, Christianity, God's call in our lives, things like that. So when you said, hey, you should teach that, I just like went along with it. I wasn't really expecting to. So it wasn't until the next day that when Pastor had texted me, I was like, it just, everything kind of clicked together. And then I didn't know what I was going to say. I had 10 months of things that it's like it all meant something very important to me. And at the end of the day, you know, we always have to lay things down. It's like sometimes what's important for us is not what's important to exactly be said. So we always want to be responsible for what God gives us and what he's working in us. So Pastor gave me a date. I was like, all thumbs up, here we go. And I spent like the next 5 or 6 days just poring over my notes, like, what exactly do I do? And then I realized that 10 months of notes were boiled down to the first thing that I had written in all my notes, which was Isaiah 43. And the rest of the teaching happened last night at 10:50 p.m.
That's right.
That's exactly what happened. It was a dark and stormy night. Because it was. Last night, Janae and I were watching a movie. And it was a good movie. And then I got a call at 10:50. I had an emergency call at a Starbucks in New Milford, 45 minutes from my house, in the rain, while I'm trying to relax. So I wasn't happy at all. I'm normally not happy when things like that pop up. It's like during the day, I'm already unhappy enough that I got to drive all over because I don't get to put things in a loop almost ever. It's like, you know, everyone would think that, you know, a responsible business owner would be able to, you know, put all of his jobs in order and just, you know, go from one to the next, you know, maximize profit and, you know, wear and tear on your vehicle. Or mine looks more like a plate of angry spaghetti that was adopted and trained by cats. So no real rhyme or reason to it. And it's, you know, whoever squeals the loudest, that's where I have to go. So, I was angry to get the call. And even though I would like to think that I'm just a, you know, simple guy with basic needs, and that if these few needs are met daily, you know, everything's good and I'll be able to conquer the world and, you know, get behind me, we'll go. But the truth is, I'm a highly emotional, high maintenance, highly sensitive person. It's the truth. Just ask my wife. Actually, just watch me for longer than 2 seconds and you'll know. I wear my heart on my sleeve, and I unfortunately can change direction, whether laughing, crying, or whatever, based on what the situation calls for. So in light of this emergency call that I'm angry at, I have some decisions to make. Number one, I don't feel like going. Number two, I didn't have to go. I can decline the call. You know, and I'm thinking, well, you know, I haven't dialed in what I'm going to speak on tomorrow. And it's like, you know, keep asking God, and he's just like, keep on walking. Just keep going. It's all right. You know, you got 10 months of stuff. Just go through it. You know, it's like, okay. Didn't have any songs picked out for the morning, which, I mean, we oftentimes, you know, we get together and on a little app that we have, and everyone kind of throws out their ideas, and we just see where we're going. And, you know, the past couple of weeks, it's like we have to have several different, like, we have to be ready for whatever direction the Holy Spirit wants to go. And that's another teaching. But, you know, so I'm starting to build my case for myself. It's like I'm the judge, the jury, and the executioner, and I'm appealing to myself here. But if I don't go, I don't make the money, and it's an emergency call, so it's better than a normal call. The guy that dispatches me that I do work for, he doesn't get paid, so that makes him angry. The dispatcher that is on call that night taking the calls, he's got to find somebody else. And I work for one of my accounts is through this guy that does work for a security company, so Starbucks or Dollar Tree or whatever companies, they call this central hub, and then they dispatch people. Well, after 7, 8 o'clock at night, it's really hard to get anybody to go for any amount of money. One of the guys that do go. So the dispatcher is going to have to stay awake and make a bunch of calls. The manager has to wait there because it was a situation where it's not that they couldn't lock up. They locked up, and the whole lock part fell out, so they couldn't get back in. There's only one way in. That's the way most commercial places do it. There's one point of you get in, you get out the same way, and lock up, so they don't have to worry about maintaining a bunch of doors. You know what happens when people can't get into Starbucks first thing in the morning? I'm telling you, I get too much enjoyment when I get the first thing call, first thing in the morning, like 5 a.m. It's like, we can't get in. I'm like, yes. It's like the zombie apocalypse. You have people shuffling up to the doors. I'm there in front of the door, drilling it, trying to get in, and they're just standing there watching me like, as soon as I open the door, their coffee's already made for them. And now that they have that app where everyone pre-orders everything, oh, it's a sight to behold. Anyway, so building on the case, so if I don't go, the management company of Starbucks, you know, they're paying a certain amount of money for this company to respond. If they can't get anybody to respond, it looks bad for them, so they could lose the account. It happens all the time. And then the manager could hesitate even calling and, you know, having me show up, so I'm losing all these future jobs, not just emergency jobs, but jobs that I do during the day. But if I do go, I get paid. The guy I work for gets paid. The manager is happy. The dispatcher is happy. The security company is happy. Everybody wins, except for my attitude. So based on these two lists that I'm going through in my head, angrily pulling out of my driveway in the rain, I have a decision to make. I obviously answered the call and started driving. And then what I did was, what I normally do at that hour, is I call the store. Because it's happened before where everyone's just frustrated. There's a lack of communication, and they're gone. So I show up. It's like the alarm's set. The door's unlocked or locked. And if I do anything, well, then the police are going to show up. And then I got another thing to explain. And, you know. So when I called, I couldn't get through. The store just kept ringing and ringing and ringing and ringing and ringing. I'm like, oh, what am I going to do? So I looked at the paperwork while I was driving. Sorry. And in very small print was the manager's cell phone number. So I called him, and he picked right up. I knew who he was. He didn't know who I was because there's other contractors that go there. So he was very apologetic. He's a real nice guy. And he was apologizing to me for, you know, dragging me out at late and blah, blah, blah. And I switched into business mode, which was beyond my my stinky attitude. I switched into business mode, and I just reassured him that, you know, I'm familiar with the door. Like, I know exactly what that door looks like. I could draw you a picture right now because I've been there enough times. So I just told him, you know, whatever it is. I asked him what the problem was, and he told me in his normal language, not locksmithing language, like what was wrong with the door. And I'm like, okay, well, I have all the parts I need. I know exactly what I'm doing. You know, I'll get you taken care of. We'll be up and running, you know, very shortly because it's, you know, I don't want to be like, oh, I'm not sure. I really hope we can figure this out tonight because otherwise, you know, it's like going to the doctor and you have a problem. They're like, oh, boy, this is bad. Regardless of what you go to the doctors for, you don't ever want them to tell you that, you know, regardless of what it is. You know, you walk in with your arms like, oh, yeah, we'll just put that thing right back on. You'll be back to work in 15 minutes. No problem. So, right. So I told him, you know, what I could do to resolve the issue and that everything's going to be okay, don't worry about it. Because I knew I had everything on my truck that I needed. You know, I had every part that I needed. I've done it, I don't know, hundreds of thousands of times with the exact same scenario. And I assured him, you know, I'll be there in like 35 minutes, so, you know, we're going to be all set, no problem. And he apologized one more time, and I said, hey, it's not a problem, man. It's a beautiful night, isn't it? And he said, you know what? It is a beautiful night. Again, I was just like in business mode. But as soon as I said that, I was like, oh, this is why I have the emergency call. This is, you know, it's, God was telling me. It's like, you know, Janae was, what did you say to me this morning? About, I'm calling you out. So I'll just paraphrase. So she knew I was upset. So she was trying to do something to help me, but basically she was asking God, you know, like, what can I do to help him? And God was like, no, he needs this. So that was, you know, we spoke about that this morning. That was the confirmation. It's like, really, it's like, you know, here I'm thinking, you know, all this stuff. It's like, my heart was, I wanted to teach what God wanted me to teach, wanted me to talk about what he wanted me to talk about. And God's a really big God. So I'm convinced that there's other things that I could have taught about and spoke about that would have touched hearts, would have answered questions, would have, you know, sparked other questions that we need, because there's a lot going on in all of our lives. But because my heart was to really, really do the right thing, he honored that by dragging me along the coals in his very loving, amazing, awesome way, you know. Sorry, I had several of the teachings worked out much more smoothly. This one's not so smooth. So anyway, I got off the phone and I realized that this is what God wanted me to talk about. So I started talking out loud to him and then realized, well, I can't write notes in the dark. Like, I like to write notes while I'm driving, but I do it so much that I just write out of my peripheral vision. I have specially made paper that I made myself with really dark lines so I can, like, see the peripheral as I'm driving. So I write notes all the time. I know. It's better than texting, right? So, but I couldn't write my notes. So I started recording it because I was like, this is, I'm questioning and talking to God, like explaining to him what he's already told me, what I already know. And I'm just like talking it out in my head. So I'm like, oh, I better record this because I'm going to have to write it down later if I'm going to remember it. Like what Brenda said, if you don't write it down, you don't remember it. So decisions, decisions, decisions. We have decisions all of our lives. It's like, what's the difference between living a Christ-centered life and a selfish life? Decisions. The decisions that we act on, that's what it boils down to. So if you take Jesus' life or anyone from the Bible or anyone in life, and you just look at the decisions, everything's a split. A lot of them are 2, 3, 4, 5. We have a lot of options. Joe, you own a business. You went from small to big. A lot of decisions. Josh, you manage people that you can't even do their job. There's a lot of decisions that have to be made. You have to make a lot of decisions. I mean, everyone has decisions. With decisions, you know, there can be confusion. We don't know what to do. Or we know what to do, but we just don't want to do it for whatever reason, whether it's fear, pride, ego, fill in the blank. But we have the mind of Christ, the heart of the Father, and the Holy Spirit to lead us into all truth. We really do have everything that we need in order to take care of a situation, to add to a Sunday morning service, to start a Sunday morning service, to help someone, to heal someone, to make a disciple of someone, fill in the blank. We have an extremely powerful, loving God that indwells, lives inside of us. Just like I had everything that I needed in my van last night to take care of that issue, I know that door. I know the lock. I knew the manager. To me, it ended up being it was the same door in a different town. It was the same lock on the same door I've seen thousands of times. I had all the parts that I need, and I even called ahead and told them, I'm going to need to make a new lockup, so I needed the cuts so that Starbucks, so that the person that showed up in the morning, which ended up being the manager, but a lot of times they have another opener. So if I change the keys at 12:30 at night, someone's going to have to be there in the morning to give them the keys. The problems that we face every day with ourselves and with other people, it's the same people with the same problems, but a different day, with just a different face. There's nothing new under the sun. And we have the same God yesterday, today, and forever. And we have the same power, love, and compassion living in us that Jesus has. What he pours out to the world, he gave to us so that we could pour it out, just like him. I didn't have to ask permission once I got that call. I didn't have to call anybody back and say, hey, listen, this is what I'm going to do. I knew what I had to do. I had already had the authority to do it. I was trained and experienced and told what to do. I completed that job 100%. And at the same time, I also had the authority to decline it. God's given us a free will. It's a wonderful, amazing thing. But our decisions need to line up with God's will, God's intention. And it's not a small thing. And it can be a scary, daunting task at times. But it's only, in my opinion, that it's a scary, daunting task if we let our emotions overrule us. If we give in to fear, trepidation, anger, selfishness, greed, fill in the blank. There's only a couple of sins, but there's many, many different manifestations of them. And they're all here to trip us up and to make us get off track. The enemy will tell us, you're too old, you're too young, you're not old enough, you're not young enough. He'll twist it anyway just to get your attention. He doesn't normally say the same thing. He loves questions. The first time he spoke was a question. Did God really say? He probably said it pretty smooth. Smooth enough to get people off track, right? Smooth enough to, in some people's minds, rewrite God's original intent. Holy teaching. He questions and says, what you have is insufficient. Which Jesus corrected with the fishes and the loaves as just one example. He says we have enough. He says we have what we need. Because yes, it was the fishes and the loaves, but it was God's promise that made that happen. He also questions us and says, is what you have really from God? Is that really what he wants you to say? Really? Jesus answered that by spitting on the ground, making mud, and putting on someone's eyes, healing the blind. It's not a common thing. But again, it's God's promise, his power, his love. In my opinion, the most common thing that the devil says to us is it's not even convincing us that it's wrong. But doesn't he always love to say, it's for another time? It doesn't quite fit in. Well, I think God's timing is perfect, regardless of how I feel about it. Like an emergency call last night at 10:50. God's timing. You give yourself up to God's timing, he will honor that, regardless of how you feel. It's true. When you ask God to change you, he honors that prayer. And he does whatever he sees fit to change us. Jesus said to go. He said to follow him. That's an action word. When it came to the fishes and the loaves, and the disciples said, what are we going to do? We're going to have to send them all away. There's no place around here to eat. He said, Jesus expected them to do it themselves because of what he had already shown them, what he had already taught them, what he had already placed in them. The easiest, most straightforward way, I believe, to make right decisions in our lives, because I've made way too many bad ones. Number one is to never stop trying. And I believe that if you are trying to do God's will in your own will and strength and character, the only way you're going to end up getting through is because of the Christ inside you. There is an effort on our part It's required. We're human. We're flesh. We're created in God's image. Jesus pushed through. His cousin had his head cut off. He went to be with the Father. A crowd interrupted him. He did the right thing. He made the right decision. He could have sent them away. He could have faked left and went right. Jesus made every decision that we go through. Again, there's nothing new under the sun. Jesus wrapped it all up. He conquered it all. He did everything. He wrapped it all up in his life. He summed it all up. And then he sent the Holy Spirit back to lead us into all truth. To lead us into all truth. In order to be led anywhere, you have to decide to be led. And to decide to be led is going to take you on a journey that even though you planned it to the whatever nth degree, how many times have we planned something that just didn't go right? How many times have you gone on vacation and forgot whatever, you know? You're on a trip and you get a flat tire. Not 5 miles from your house, 150 miles from your house in the rain. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. Love your neighbor as yourself. I have a specific encouragement for the season that we are in right now for Sunday mornings with waiting on the Lord. I believe that waiting on the Lord is both a holding and also a proactive. Waiting on the Lord, we should be actively waiting on the Lord and seeking him throughout the week to see what God wants us to bring. Because we're each other's brothers, sisters, neighbors. We're in close proximity. The definition of a neighbor. Someone that lives next door. Someone that you interact with. So when we're here, not only are we family, but we're neighbors. So I'm gonna stretch it a little bit and say that that's also what Jesus was talking about. We're supposed to have our relationship to the point where we are certain at times what he wants us to do. Because there's plenty of times that things come up and we are supposed to react. But in order to properly react, you have to be trained. You have to revert to your training. So a reaction is actually a predetermined action in a certain situation. When the military, they say that the best plans fall apart when the first bullets fly. And that's very true. And we have a military that runs military, first responders, police. They run towards gunfire. They don't run away from it. We're called to be on the front lines. We're called to respond forward. Not to be angry when you get an emergency call in the middle of the night. So, my final encouragement is to not listen to the questioning of the enemy. Know that you have decisions to make for the rest of your lives. It's easy to get into a rut and get consumed with the situation that you're presently in. I know firsthand. It's difficult. And sometimes it seems like it's easier just to keep your head down when the bullets are flying. But I assure you, it is not the case. One example, and then I'm going to wrap this up. The Navy SEALs train that when they come under fire, they train so exclusively that they return fire in such a powerful, shaking, scary, pinpoint way that it confuses, scares, and annihilates their enemy's plans, if not the enemy themselves. We have the spiritual power of Jesus Christ and his blood residing in us. So when the bullets fly spiritually, rest assured, you do have what it takes. Jesus has given us all the tools, all the weapons, all the means, all the wisdom. But there is a responsibility on our part to familiarize yourselves with that. If your parents are billionaires and you're to inherit the company, if you don't learn how that company works, there's not a good chance you're going to be able to effectively carry on that business. If you come under attack and you have a truckload of weapons and books on tactics, don't know how to use them, it's not a good chance that you're going to be effective. One of the most important things about being effective, not believing that you're insignificant or what God has given you is insignificant. What God has given you to share in the safest of environments, the safest of environments. Be corrected. If I said something off the mark, Pastor would either correct me, if it was egregious enough, he'd correct me right now, or he would take me aside afterwards. Just be correctable. I've spent way too much time being uncorrectable, so I'm encouraging you to be correctable. You're not insignificant. What you have to bring is not of insignificance. Be prepared during the week. Bring what God gives you. It won't be a free-for-all if you're responsible and make the right decisions.
Praise God. That's good, Mark. Thank you. I would like to use this time to minister some freedom and healing to the body regarding the teaching that Mike just gave, because it was a very important teaching about decisions. And he's so right. We're making decisions momentarily. Not just while we're here listening to God, wanting to follow and obey him, but also throughout life. This afternoon, tomorrow, decisions are going to be required of us, and God brings us to those places where decisions must be made. What I would like to share with you about decisions is this. Once you make a decision, now that decision owns you, and you are captured by it. That means that you're all in or you're not in. If you make a decision, now it's your responsibility to follow through with that. Because that decision owns you. You made a step in one direction or another, and now you're owned by that decision. And so you have to trust Jesus in you to become everything to fulfill that choice that you made. This also works in the negative. It works in the positive and it works in the negative. And the thing I wanted bring to you to help you this morning is to free you from bad decisions. Because as much as a decision owns you in the right direction, you choose something regarding your walk with the Lord, and now you own it and it owns you, you can't get free of it very easily. And you all know that. You cannot get free of your decisions once they're made. It takes a lot to get free. The reason I'm bringing this up is because when bad decisions are made, pride prevents you from repenting. And now what you do is instead of getting into reverse and getting out of a bad decision, you stay in a bad decision because your pride holds you there, and you end up going down a trail without the power of the presence of the Holy Spirit. Jesus does not empower bad decisions. He only empowers decisions that are according to his will. I have been guilty, you have been guilty, of making decisions that ended up costing us a great deal. And if we do not repent, we end up suffering the consequences of our bad decisions. I have watched hundreds of my brothers and sisters make bad decisions that cost them a huge amount of their walk, because guilt, shame, embarrassment, and above all, pride, held them in the position, captured them. We don't have to live that way. We do not have to live with the consequences of bad decisions if we are willing to repent and say, God, forgive me. Help me, get me out of this, bring me back into the right walk that I'm supposed to be with you in. When the will of the Lord is revealed to you, it's not that he expects you to do it all on your own, because there is no such thing in Christianity. What he expects is for you to let him be all in all in you. If he gives you a decision-making opportunity and we follow it, that means that he will be the one who empowers you to fulfill it. If we make a bad decision, he's not going to agree with it. He will help you get out of it, but he's not going to empower you. You are on your own when you make a wrong decision. The devil will help you stay in that bad position because he doesn't want you to do the right thing. So he'll give you all kinds of reasons why you made that decision and why you should stay in that decision and suffer the consequences of it. I don't want to see this happen to anybody. Do you want it to happen to you? Absolutely not. So what we're going to do this morning, thank you, Mike, for this teaching, is just ask God to forgive us for our pride when we have made wrong decisions and help us, deliver us, get us back on track. Can we pray that this morning? Let's stand in agreement and say, oh God, my Father, oh God, my Father, thank you for loving us. Thank you for watching over us. Thank you for leading and guiding us by your Spirit. But we are not infallible. We have selfish desires, selfish motives and reasons. We have angers and hurts and resentments and bitterness and lusting desires for ambitious situations and things that we want to become and to do that get in our way, God. And we ask you now, in those places where we've made bad decisions, to forgive us. We pray that up to you. You hear our prayers. We're all sensitive to your Spirit right now. And we thank you, God, for bringing us to this moment. Deliver us from the failures of bad decisions. We ask you to forgive us, God, and keep us in the future, as Mike said, from listening to the questions that drove us into the wrong decisions. And help us, oh God, hear you clearly in the future. And now, Lord, we thank you that by your own grace, your own powers, your own divine circumstances, you will extricate us from situations we've been in that we should not be in, and lead us in the paths of righteousness. Put us in the places of making the right decisions so we accomplish your will and be a blessing to you and to those in our lives. We want to give you glory for this, God. We know that you have our best interest at heart, and we thank you for that. And we thank you for this moment. We thank you for this moment in Jesus' holy name. Amen. Amen.